What up, Whiskey Ginger fans? Welcome back to the show. We got a good one for you today, like my man Steve Harvey say. Rob McElhaney and Charlie Day. I'm rhyming. I'm going to continue to rhyme on this show the entire time I'm on this show, yo. These two dudes are so great, man. I'm so happy to have them with me. Always Sunny in Philadelphia. What an incredible show that will span for 18 seasons, maybe more. Who knows? They're the best. I'm glad they did it. And also, I'm very excited to announce the Tito Cheeto Tour. Let's go! The Tito Cheeto Tour, baby. I'm coming to you. I'm coming to see you wherever you are. The Tito Cheeto Tour. Dates are going to be up on August 2nd. Monday, August 2nd. All the dates will drop, which is in, what, 3 days. You'll be able to get tickets for everywhere. Denver, Nashville, Boston, San Francisco, Cancun, Columbus, Ohio, Pittsburgh, PA, New York, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Philly, San Diego, Phoenix for New Year's Eve shows, St. Louis, Kansas City, Chi-Town, coming home, Chicago Theater, so excited, Albany, New York, Foxwoods Casino, Seattle, and Portland. That's all going to be up on AndrewSantino.com August 2nd. Please check them out. Right now, you can buy Denver, Nashville, and Boston. Go to AndrewSantino.com for all those tickets. AndrewSantino.com. Please come see me live. Enough yammering on from me. Let's go to the episode.
In here, we pour whiskey, 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 whiskey.
You are that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Whiskey Ginger. My guest today, one of my favorite people on earth. I say that for all my guests, but I mean it once again today. It is Charlie Day and Rob McElhaney. Thanks for coming to the show.
Thanks, man.
Thank you for being here.
You did say one of your favorite people on earth. So yeah. Now you're going to pick.
No, one of you is. I think you're well aware of which one it is.
Flip a coin.
I know who it is.
Who is it, guys?
Glenn.
I'm going to say it's LeBron James.
It's Caitlin.
Oh, it's Caitlin.
Well, yeah, it is. That's very true, and I can't lie to you guys. I like neither of you more than the other. I like one of you more than the other, but I can't. We won't. Thanks for coming, guys.
It's good to be here. It's good to see Charlie, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, you guys don't see each other a lot.
When was the last time we saw each other?
Yeah,
it was not...
It was yesterday.
It was not 15 hours, right? Was it that many
maybe,
hours?
Nah, at least 13 hours, maybe.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Ago.
Half a day.
Is your friendship severed because of the show?
No.
No, actually, that's the craziest thing about our
show. Any of your friendships are severed at all?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Really?
I mean, yeah.
I'm still married to one of them. He's still married to one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is no, like...
There's definitely, like, I think, like, maybe at the end of the season, we're like, all right, let's just take a little break and, you know, but...
But then we take breaks and we hang out, we play golf together.
Yeah, Rob and I hang, and I don't hang with Glenn enough, but I... Love hanging out with Glenn.
We live on different parts of the city. I think that's the one
thing. Yeah, we're spread out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why
that was accidental.
I think we like different things.
What do you like?
Rob likes like snooty rich people. And yeah. He likes trying to reinvent himself as a sort of greater than human being, right? Is that what you're aiming
at?
Yeah,
I mean, if you could just put my address out on the podcast, that'd be great.
1420. Guys, look right down here below.
But
Charlie has a 360-degree panoramic view of the entire city.
I have a
city
very nice
view.
Downtown L.A. You live above the Staples Center.
I can see downtown L.A. When it's clear, I can see the ocean. I can see the Hollywood sign. I see Griffith Park Observatory.
He can look down upon everybody.
Yeah.
Ever tried to make it.
I live in the lows.
See, that's real risky.
The dips.
Yeah.
I live in the dips.
Yeah.
How high is your gate?
We don't have a gate.
Yeah, that's
your
problem.
Can't afford a gate.
How do you keep the riffraff out?
I stand out front all night with a broom.
Oh, that works too.
And I wave people away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But how much do you pay your security?
$60 a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Ooh.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's a little tight.
Is it?
Yeah, it's tight.
Should I increase the budget?
Here's how I know where I'm at. Think about the broom waving alone.
Well, this is getting a lot stronger because of the... I usually only use the right hand with the broom.
Yeah. You're going to want to switch that up.
No. Righties. I'm a righty only, baby. I want this arm to be limp and thin and this one to be fucking jacked. That's good for the game.
Unique look. You know what I mean? Be like, he's that one actor with the thick arm and the
thick arm, thin arm. That guy's good.
Yeah, he's great.
This is how I know where I am in Hollywood, is that people still walk outside of my house on Monday night to collect cans out of my recycling. I'm there still. Like, I don't...
No, that doesn't go away.
I don't think that goes away anyway.
Really?
Yeah.
That's... You can't... If you're up in a hill, they can't get to you.
Nah, my cans are out on the street.
in the hills?
Yeah, they wander up the hills and...
That's bold to push a cart up a hill.
People need money, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, give them some then.
Fuck that.
Wow. That's my favorite. I want to help the homeless. I just, not now. Not right now, I don't want to help them at all.
Every single one will be bankrupt in a week.
Really? Yeah, actually true, because I went past the West Side the other day. I went to Brentwood and by the VA.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's just tents all along the, Wilshire and whatever.
And then actually on the grounds of the VA now.
Everywhere.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
But it's totally illegal, right? They have to leave them there because they call, it's like.
Yes.
I don't even know what the term is. Yeah. Not sanctuary, but they have to leave them there.
It's a very well-known problem in the city of Los Angeles, and we're throwing lots of money at it. And I'm sure, you know, let's get down to the brass tacks. I think we can solve homelessness in this podcast.
We can.
Right, Charlie, now, what information do you have on this?
What do the Japanese do? Because, have you been to Japan?
They kill them.
Oh.
I'm not kidding, they kill them. And they'll tell you.
Really?
Oh, yeah, they'll tell you right to your face. They'll make you a highball and go, we kill them.
That's brutal.
1412, please.
That is brutal.
Yeah. No, Japan is remarkably, shockingly clean. I do think they hide them somewhere. I think they take them off the street.
What happened in New York, right? Like in the 90s, but well before I got there, I remember just hearing about there was a massive homeless problem, and then certainly very specifically in Times Square. And then by the time I arrived, sometime in the late 90s or early 2000s, when Giuliani was mayor, they were just gone. And
yeah.
People were like, well, what happened? Well, the problem didn't disappear. They just got pushed out.
Rudy the Magician, yeah. As they call
him. He ground them up and made them into bad hair dye. It's going to run under the lights, but otherwise.
Watching him shake and the hair dye slowly drip down was so computerized. It was like it's almost like somebody programmed that and it was like, and the drip happens now. And it's like, slowly moving down his head.
Ah, the Giuliani belt bot is melting. Yeah. It's melting.
Move it out of the lights. Move it out of the lights.
All right, pull in the other one.
Has anybody had a more precipitous fall? Like
than
from
Giuliani?
Grace, than Giuliani? I mean, for the love of God.
I would
say, O.J. Simpson.
Well, I mean, I guess I meant in politics.
Yeah, sure.
I guess I meant in politics.
What was the mayor, what was the crack-smoking mayor? What was his name? Was that
right? In D.C.
Mayor Barry?
Mayor Barry.
He got reelected.
I know, but and then died from an overdose, right?
Well, sure.
Well, okay, that's a pretty big fall.
I tried to warn you.
Yeah. I think that's a pretty big fall. Also, the most famous...
Yes, you can make the argument that JFK had a pretty tough fall, too. I'm just saying, from Giuliani's perspective, who was like, so well-loved.
Yeah.
Like, universally loved.
He was.
To now reviled.
We just went to Dallas, and my friend Chris and I, we stood on the X. You can go stand on the X where JFK was shot, and you can look up at the infirmary?
Book depository.
Book depository.
Yeah.
And I'm not making a joke. But I am. Really good shot.
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
the accuracy was insane.
That's the argument.
Yeah.
Is that,
people are like, it's not, there's no way. I'm like, maybe he's just a good shot.
What about this fact that we've all accepted? What's a book depository? I've never thought about it.
What's a deposit?
You're depositing your books there?
Yeah, you have to deposit your books in Texas. Nope, and it can't be reading here, boy.
All right,
go deposit that. I saw you get that book.
Yeah,
go put that away.
Deposit that up there, man, because there's a whole lot of.
It's just a man
piss off Texas.
Takes
man.
It and burns it. No, I love it.
We're all going to be moving there at some point, so we should embrace
half
it.
Of the comedy community took their money and ran to Texas.
Yeah,
why?
Oh,
taxes. I think a big tax shelter, but also I think there's this idea. Yeah, Texas throws around, and I do love Texas.
I fucking love Texas.
I do, too. They throw around the word freedom, though, a lot of times, where they're like, more freedom. It's like, I don't think anywhere is more free than any state in the United States, but I think you get to have more of your money is what it is. They don't take as much from you, so they're
That's awesome.
Yeah, let's go. I don't know what we're doing here.
Yeah, what are we doing? Come on.
I like the weather here.
Yeah, well.
But the fires are tough.
I don't like to be landlocked. I'm not I'd like to be near an ocean.
But you're not anywhere near the ocean.
No.
He
went and got himself as landlocked as possible.
No, yeah. I could drive the ocean in 30 minutes.
45, 55.
In the middle of the night.
During a pandemic, I'm there, no problem.
That was what I said when someone's like, don't you must love living in LA. You get to be near the beach. We go once every 4 years.
With your complexion.
Yeah, yeah.
Santino, you shouldn't be going anywhere near
it. Look who's talking.
It.
You're not olive skin.
I wear a ton of, you've seen me how often
when we go out, it's all day long. You don't put on sunscreen once.
No, I do. I'm slathered in it.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Because I never. He lubes up 3-4 times.
Oh, you mean while we play around in golf?
Yeah.
No, but only because I'm dumb. Like, dumb and
you're
lazy.
You're cool to get burnt.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you're Italian.
Yeah, I do have part Italian, yeah. So that helps.
But three white guys from places with weather that we come from, it's just that you're never gonna not burn. I'm gonna burn the rest of my life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I lived in Arizona for 5 years.
Oh, Christ.
Sad. I was burnt most of my college. Sure. I mean, that's my...
Sure.
That's my...
I mean, even the lizards are hiding under rocks. So yeah. Like, yeah.
What
are you doing?
I went from car to house. They would shelter me, and they would put blankets over me, and then I'd walk in somewhere, and I'd be okay again. Yeah. But honestly, that's the only fear of cancer I have. I don't have a fear of cancer. You know, they say 1 in 3 are going to get it. That's what they say. The only one is that one. I'm not afraid of, like, you know, colon or all that other shit. Skin, for sure. I know I'm getting it, and I just have to accept it. Mm. And I'm like, I guess that's
the... I'm going to say, based on just the diet I see around the room, you're going to get prostate cancer.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay,
but I'm gonna suggest that maybe it doesn't happen until your 80s anyway. So
fine.
Who cares?
Then I'm already dead.
Fine.
Then I'm already dead. I brought these in for you guys because I know these are just for you, Rob, because you're on a strict diet. So I'd like to see you eat as many of these. You don't have to eat any, but you should.
You know, I haven't eaten a donut in quite a while.
I know, that's why I'm leaving.
I don't have a sweet tooth.
Your funniest season, you ate nothing but donuts.
It was all donuts.
Yeah.
You think that was the funniest season?
I ate a donut.
You should have a donut. Yeah, it's worth it. The reason I brought these in is because on the plane I watched a thing called the Donut King documentary about how 95% of the donut shops in LA are run by Cambodian families, or it used to be refugees. And then this guy, the Donut King, not to give away the documentary, but he moved here, worked on the Winchell's program, learned about it, opened up his own shops, and then became the most successful purveyor of donuts in Los Angeles. What he'd do is he'd buy a shop, get a Cambodian family over here, have them run it, you know, give them percentages, and they popped up all over Southern California. That's why, like, in Southern California, you can find literally 10 donut shops within a square mile. And it was almost all exclusively Cambodian famous at one time. Now it's, you know.
So it's one parent company that owns a bunch of independent stores that aren't, there's no, like, branding about it? They're just
used to be called
things.
Christie's Donuts. Christie's?
Yeah, I know Christie's.
That was him. That was him.
Oh.
Yeah, that was him. And then it became Donut King.
Or maybe I'm thinking of Krispy Kreme.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't know.
Completely Krispy. Different thing.
Yeah. Why is there always like, that's like a hangout for sort of an unsavory element of.
That's why I love it.
Yeah, but why? Like, why, like.
Why a donut shop?
Yeah.
Because they have everything. They have like a ham, egg, and cheese. They have cake. Mm-hmm. They have coffee.
It's the coffee. Coffee. You can come in and sit and drink a cup of coffee for 3 hours.
For $1.65.
Yeah.
And they'll keep filling you up with that burnt coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And that woman comes out with
burnt,
a limp.
And they haven't cleaned the pot in forever.
Why would they? Coffee's just going right back in there. It's like making your bed. I'm going right back in there in a couple hours.
Yeah.
I like that mentality. I don't need to. Why fix it up? It's going to get nasty again. How often do you wash your sheets?
Me, personally?
How often does a person wash your sheets?
Yeah.
Charlie, do you know where the washing machine is in your house?
Do you have a washing machine or
There's got to be one in there somewhere.
There's so many rooms. There's got to be a machine.
No, I do. I wash. I do the chores sometimes.
Liar. This is such a bad lie.
But I wash my own shit, you know?
You don't wash your family shit?
No.
Wow.
You
have a human that washes for you. You have a...
I have
a
woman who will come to our house once a week.
Yeah.
And be there for a few hours and help out.
And wash her clothes.
help out by
washing and cleaning.
Yeah, I like. No, everyone has that service. But the washing of the clothes, I'm weary of. I don't want someone washing my stuff.
No, I wash my own clothes most of the time.
Yeah.
Every now and then she'll grab the laundry basket and be like, oh shit, she washed my clothes. And I love it.
You do?
Yes.
Because it's with care.
Because she's better at it than I am.
Well, how can you, fuck it up? You just throw it in and it does it.
Not a good folder.
Folding. Well, that's the thing. The washing is the easy part. You throw it in a machine, you hit start.
That's easy, but I'm not great at folding. I'll shrink a shirt. I'm bad at it.
I'll shrink a shirt would have been that should be your autobiography. I'll shrink a shirt.
I'll shrink a shirt.
By Charlie Day. I shrink most stuff but I know that when I buy it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll buy it big and go, well, this will get small. There's no doubt.
Interesting.
Yeah, because I just don't trust the way I do. If I'm in a, hurry and I'm throwing stuff around. I just don't trust it.
Yeah, but like if you like shrink like a sweater or like a sweatshirt, sometimes the back will get higher than the front.
And you'll
like,
be Quasimodo.
Yeah, and it just won't fit right ever again.
No, you're true. No, you're right.
Having kids fucked me all up because I was definitely on the path of never having to do that myself ever again. Mm. But then you have kids and you're like, well, I don't want to teach them that somebody else cleans up after you or does your own shit. And so we're like, okay, we'll give them chores and they got to do their own shit. And then Caitlin was like, yeah, but now we have to do it too because we have to set the example. They can't see dad paying somebody. And I'm like, maybe that, but what's wrong with that message too? Which is like dad works his ass off to come home and then create a job for somebody else to come in and great.
I guarantee that if you asked either of your kids whether or not someone else was washing their clothes or you guys were, they'd be like, huh? Someone washes our clothes. I have no idea.
Well, but here's the thing: they do it. They do wash their own. They fold their own clothes. And these little motherfuckers. The only reason they do it, which is not bad anyway, I guess, it's all incentive based. That's how they earn their screen time.
Screen time payment.
Yeah. Wow.
That's
now I did just take the iPads away for the last month, and it's been great.
What happened?
Well, the incentives go away. That's a problem. But then, but the first week sucks. But then, their brains start to like descramble, and then they're like kind and sweet to each other. You're like, oh shit! Like all of that stuff that you're reading about how it's all screwing with our heads. It's all true,
of course.
And they're now reset, and now somehow we've gotten them to continue to do the chores without the incentive.
Wow, that's
it's like magic.
I guess it worked. You throw an iPad in front of your kid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, here, take it. There's no, it's never going away.
No, it's definitely going away. There's a limited amount of time.
Do you put it on the, is it the thing where you can program it? You know, where you it shuts off? Have you seen that?
No,
Apple has
just,
an app, it just,
yeah. We're like, you got like a half hour at the end of the day, go nuts.
And he obeys it.
Yeah, he's good about it.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. And that we were doing that for years and it was working, but then we just found that like it was getting longer and then they were like, going through like 70 games. They wouldn't play one game for like 40 minutes. They'd play 70 games. And you'd be like, what the fuck is going on? And it just like, I don't know, there was something scrambled.
Because there's so many games to be played. It's kind of like if you're scrolling through porn, it's so hard to just stay with one video. You got to watch one and then go, I did see another one when I was scrolling that I kind of like. And you hit that one and you go, this is not the one. And then you find
and
another one.
And the next
one.
Thing you know, you're watching animal stuff, right? Like, it's got to start getting weird.
Zoom in on Charlie's face right now.
No, I'm just thinking that, like, Rob's the dad that doesn't let his kids play video games and makes them fold their own laundry. And your kids are probably going to be better off for it, man. No doubt.
Yeah, true.
No doubt. Yeah.
I think it's true. I think
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Caitlin was raised in a house where, like, when I make TV references, because I was just like a feral child, which I know Charlie was too. And I was just able to do whatever the fuck I wanted. And I was like, and I would watch as much TV as I wanted or whatever. And that's, did you want to take that call?
Yeah, no, go ahead.
No, you know, it's my ring. That's my security is back. He's wandering around the front of the house.
Okay.
That's
great.
Fine.
Okay,
it's fine.
Great.
Yeah.
Just in case you wanted to take that during the podcast, that's fine.
No problem.
Some riffraff getting at your cans.
Yeah. Sorry, fellas.
Go ahead. We were feral children.
And I watch such a shitload of television. And so when I talk to Caitlin about like references, because we're around the same age, she has no idea what I'm talking about. She didn't watch any. She wasn't allowed to watch any TV.
What?
She didn't. She wasn't allowed to like go out and like drink or like hang out with friends in high school, really. Her parents are great, like super wonderful people.
Yeah.
But they're like uber healthy. She never ate any shitty foods.
Any
it was
good
always
stuff.
Like, and then when she went to college, she went fucking berserk.
Yeah.
In every way possible. Mm. But she did eventually come back around and like kind of instills similar values. But I don't know. Maybe you just, it's like that Catholic school thing. You just.
My old lady didn't have cable either. They grew up without cable. They grew up out in the country, no cable.
I didn't have cable.
Yeah, well, I didn't have
you
cable.
You didn't?
I didn't have cable, no.
Wow. So I just, it's one of the, when I talked to her about stuff when I was a kid, shows, I'm blown away. I'm like, how do you know? You don't know what that is. She's like, I don't know. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, we only had, you know, the basics. And then after that, though, she never had any of that stuff. So it is strange to feel that big difference, but she's still well adjusted. So I'm like, well, maybe this shit was all bad anyway. And it wasn't really worth me spending. I mean, I spent so much time in front of the TV. I was obsessed with watching TV. And I think maybe now it's, I don't know. I don't know if when we have kids, maybe. I don't know what I'll do with that. I feel like I'll be a sucker and be like, watch whatever you want. I did it on a constant basis. Are you going to leave your kids money?
No. Well, this we talk about this quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, look, if I, like, drop dead tomorrow, I wouldn't want my kid to be like, and you're broke. You know, like you're gone and...
Could be fun though.
Yeah.
Teach him a lesson.
I don't know.
Two lessons.
Two lessons, dude. Yeah,
life could be snatched from you at any moment, mm-hmm. And you're broke.
And you're broke. Start all over, buddy.
Yeah. But you know, like all those old rich families that we weren't, you know?
Yeah.
They all just passed their money down and down and...
Well, that was was the old standard of like...
They're all fucked up. Not everybody. All the poor people are fucked up too. Everybody's
absolutely
fucked up.
Everyone's
They'd rather
fucked
be
up.
Fucked up and rich.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, it's more fun. That's fair. It's more fun if you... I think I don't want to leave my kid... any money, whatever I have.
No, you want your kid to go out there and...
And kind of fail.
And, fail and make
most,
it on their
the
own.
The richest guy that I know, by far, his son and I went to school together, and he doesn't... I never knew what his dad was until I met his dad, and then we'd spoke, and I was like, holy fucking shit, your dad... I mean, it's insane. But he never lived that way. You never saw that. You know, he always drove an old car. There was nothing about him that exuded like, oh, I came from wealth. And I think that was on purpose. And I always appreciated that for some reason. I was like, that's the way to do it. Make him go get it and work for it. And now he does great on his own. But I just think that seems to be the way. Because if you give them stuff, everyone that I know who's been given all of it, I don't know. They don't give a shit.
There's a difference between giving somebody everything that they need, but not everything that they want.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way we're doing. Especially if you have children and they're 10 and 9 years old, you have to give them everything they need. And then I think there are ways in which you can incentivize them to get what they want. And then Christmas comes around, or you know,
you could always make them sew their own clothes, though. You could really make them go for it. Make them make their own meals, sew their own clothes, sleep outside.
Yeah. And that's
make them grow.
That's gonna create a psychopath.
And then what happens? Then they become successful.
See? It's pretty, you know, there's no science to it. You never know what's going to happen.
You really don't.
Are you a musical genius?
No.
You are, though.
I'm not. I'm okay at music. Like, I can fiddle around on a lot of instruments, and I can put together, like, a catchy melody. But, like, my left hand does not work. Like, on the piano, it's like I can do one note at a time on the left hand. Mm. I'm like okay on guitar, but like someone who like plays guitar can be like, which I can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Can't read music. You know, I could, but I lost it all.
You can just
all.
Freestyle music. You can just improv all of it.
Yeah, but I'm like, anyone who like plays guitar, plays piano will be like, yeah, I'm just playing the same shit over and over and over again for years. And like variations on that. So no, I feel pretty limited.
Music. But you're definitely a musician.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can play music.
When you played the keys, that clip popped up for me literally in my YouTube annoyingly the other day, because I don't like seeing clips of you guys from your show.
Mm.
And it popped up, and I watched you playing the piano or the keyboard, and it was impressive because I was like, oh, I can tell you're just fucking off, but it's good fucking off.
But that's as good as it gets, what you heard right there. Like,
that's good, though.
Yeah, that's me. That's peak me, you know? Like, it's not better than that.
But for me, it was like, don't take offense to this. It was almost like when someone goes, when you go to like a pickup game for basketball and you see the guy who you're like, that guy can't play basketball. And then he shoots and you're like, oh, he can play basketball. Really fucking well.
It almost seems unfair because you're like, this guy's already the funniest dude in the room, so he can't have this other talent.
Depends on what room.
Does.
It depends on what room.
It depends on what room.
It does depend on what room.
In this room? Yeah.
Not even close.
Yeah, yeah.
Not even close.
No. He is.
I'm not.
he is.
I don't want to be. That's the thing.
He's also.
That is the thing.
Well,
man.
Right.
I did not set out to be.
No, you wanted.
You wanted to be a dramatic actor.
Yes.
You wanted your value to be based on your own feelings of self-worth and not the validation of others. But here we are.
I wanted to be taken seriously, but instead I'm the guy eating the donuts. I get it.
That's why I brought him. I knew he wouldn't eat them. I knew you would eat one.
Yeah.
I bet Andres $50 that you'd eat one.
Oh, nice,
and
good.
And he's
congrats,
like, no, then neither will eat. And I was like, watch.
I'll eat two.
I said,
will you get 100 if I eat two?
Yeah, I will. I'll get 100.
There you go.
Bam. $100.
In here, we pour whiskey.
Is there something interfering with your happiness? I've talked very frequently on this show and on my other show how much I believe in BetterHelp. BetterHelp is incredible. It really is so wonderful to be able to access something like this from the comfort of your own home. It's not a crisis line. It's not a self-help line. It's professional counseling done securely online from the comfort of your own wherever you are, home, office, in a hotel, in a cab, in a lobby, in an Uber, wherever you got to do it to get help, this is the way to do it. I've spoken very candidly about mental health, my own, and I'm a big proponent of something like this. You can log into your account anytime and anywhere and send a message to your counselor. It's more affordable than traditional in-person counseling, which I think is a big plus because right now everyone's wallet's a little bit tight because of the pandy. You're going to get thoughtful and timely responses. You can schedule weekly video phone sessions so you don't have to wait in a weird waiting room with a old magazine like highlights totally filled out. Throwback. Visit their website. You can see their testimonials. You can see how honest this is that people do love this and use this. The over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional at BetterHelp.com/reviews. Go to BetterHelp.com/whiskey. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P /whiskey. BetterHelp.com/whiskey. And check it out for yourself. So many people have been using it. They're recruiting counselors in all 50 states. So if this is what you do is help people get help and help yourself. I believe in it. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. And Whiskey Ginger listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/whiskey. That's BetterHelp.com/whiskey. It's summer, summer, summertime. It's summertime, kids. And you got to show off them stems. Big Papa's been doing it. I'm 6'1" and some change. So I'm a big fan of showing off my big orange Cheeto stems. And Bare Bottom has got the shorts that I love. They sent me a whole bunch of shorts, the 7-inchers, because it shows off a little bit more leg than usual, which I like. I got their swim trunks. I got their regular shorts. And man, are these things incredible. So comfortable. They also have great shirts that they sent me too, but man, their shorts are so good. The Bare Bottom clothing is the go-to for guys looking to update their wardrobe with high quality and made to last threads without dishing out a small fortune. They are very affordable and they're great. You get two made for summer lightweight tech tees as well and a pair of stretch shorts for under $100 total. 2021, let's keep our shorts above the knees, my friend. Don't go below the knees. You're going to get smacked on the wrist by a nun in the hallway. Catholic school joke. It's designed to transition from the couch to the gym, work or play or whatever you do. You will love these shorts, I promise. And giving back is also at the core of what Bare Bottom does. They donated over 100,000 pairs of shorts to children in need. Starting this summer, they'll be donating a school lunch for each item sold. Come on, man, feed the kids. Bare Bottom clothing is amazing. Go get yourself a pair of shorts. Right now, our listeners get free shipping on their first order of these super comfortable threads at barebottomclothing.com. Barebottomclothing.com. Use the code WHISKEY. Barebottomclothing.com. That's bear, B-E-A-R, like the animal. Bottomclothing.com. Use the code WHISKEY to get free shipping on your first order. Bare Bottom, baby. Cover up your bottom.
Ginger. I like gingers.
See that? That's what I like. That's what moves me.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you do eat the donuts.
I'm much more of a moderation person. Mm. Like, well, that's not true. I mean, I don't know. Everything, it's a case by case thing. Like you and Glenn are much more like strict with your eating and your routines. And I'm a little bit more like, I'll do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But then again, I'm like not drinking right now. I'm like, no, off, done.
We usually drink on the show, but it's a little early for that. Why are you done drinking?
Well,
you had an incident?
No, I'm just tired of it.
You're just sick of the
sick of the routine.
Yeah,
it's no good. We want to be a better me.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And see, that's the thing. I can be strict. Like, I cannot eat that donut, and I can eat really healthy. Like, I can have a salad for lunch, and I can, and then no, but no matter what, I'm drinking that Manhattan every night.
See, that's what I like.
But I can't stop.
But I've been doing.
Yeah, you're an alcoholic.
I've been doing that longer than you had. You're only recently like doing the Manhattan every night, and I'd been doing it for like a good 20 years. And I was like, all right, it's time for a break. Fuck this shit. And you get up at 5 and you work out, and I won't do that and drink at the same time. I'm like, no, I'm either like having drinks and hanging out or I'm exercising.
So that was always my justification was if I could work out, then I can have fun.
Yeah. Which I can't do both.
I do understand that. I do understand the wanting to break the cycle of like, I truly do oftentimes feel like I'm creating a scenario in which I can drink at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And so there is there's an obsession problem there, right? Where I'm like, oh, well, I won't eat that because tonight I'm going to do that. And I'd rather do that.
Yeah, I do that too. I think everyone does that. You compartmentalize what's going to like take place for the other thing. Like we ate salad for dinner last night and I was miserable. And it was like a small, tiny salad. And then I went out and did shows. And on the way home, like clockwork, I was thinking about texting her, and she texted me, and she goes, I'm starving. I was like, I'm starving.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely starving. Yeah. But part of the game, as you become an adult, you're like, I guess I just have to sacrifice shit sometimes.
To stay
alive.
Alive. Yeah. And healthy and feel good, both mentally and physically.
You were cooler to me when you were really fat.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
I miss you fat.
Yeah. Charlie says it. I mean, almost. He just said it earlier.
I didn't even know you fat. I only met you as you now. Yeah. And you look delicious. I took a picture of the GQ magazine or whatever when I was in the airport. Mm-hmm. This guy. Was it GQ?
I was on the cover of a few magazines this year.
Oh, my God. What was it?
Men's Health, I think.
Men's Health. That's what it was. I liked it. I bought it.
You did?
I didn't buy it.
No, I didn't think.
Why would I buy that?
Do they still sell them, or is it everything?
Airports, baby.
Airports,
baby.
The only place you're gonna pick that up.
Keeping magazines alive.
That's right.
All right.
But it was impressive because I saw it from afar and I said, "Oh, that's got to be Rob. There's no doubt."
Yes.
And I walked up and I saw his chiseled body, and all I wanted was Trail Mix, but I was fixated on your body by the Trail Mix, so I had to send you a photo of it.
And you got it, but did you get the Trail Mix?
Of course I did.
Now, did you get it with the ones with the M&Ms in it?
Of course I did.
And did you go for the M&Ms first?
Of course I did.
Rob, did you work out today?
No.
No.
I was up very early today, but I was writing. I didn't, I was writing.
You write first thing in the morning?
First thing in the morning.
Holy shit.
What were you writing?
This other thing I'm doing.
Do you write first thing in the morning?
I have before.
It's got to be afternoon for me. The morning is just not...
You don't have
kids. My brain doesn't...
The thing is, like, having people around, like...
Yes,
I get up at five.
It's your only time.
Yes.
I just mean comedically, my brain seems to not function in the morning. It's not clicking enough for me to write jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I'm going through concepts when I'm thumbing through all my notes, most of the time, in the morning, I'm like... and I just shit on everything because I'm just in that mood where I'm like, no, this is shit. But in the afternoon, I'll be more light about the day, and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, this is a little bit easier.
Oh, well, that's a very positive outlook, because I think I'm the most optimistic first thing in the morning, because I'm like, oh, anything can happen. And then throughout the course of the day, shit happens, and I'm like, fuck this shit.
That's why most comics, I think, write late at night, too. A lot of people write in the middle of the night, which I used to do, too, but then I was like, this isn't healthy, because then I would spiral out into a writing session, and then it'd be 3 in the morning, and I'm like, well, this is not what my body wants me to do. This is stupid. Yeah.
I'm asleep very early. I mean, last night I was asleep by 9:30.
You got that Wahlberg schedule where you're in bed by 6 and up by 2?
Yeah, you drink that Manhattan at 7, it wants to go to bed by 9.
It's only one Manhattan?
Well, it depends. You're looking at, I only fill up the glass once, but I take it to the very brim.
You do?
Yeah.
You do like 6 fingers of whiskey? Is that what it is?
I don't even measure it because I'm afraid to measure it. I just mix it the way I want to mix it in the thing. And then it fills up a full Manhattan glass or martini glass.
Yep.
I mean, to the actual top, to where it's almost looks like an optical illusion. So it could be 2 Manhattans. I don't know.
It is.
Like by bar standards.
Do you drink by yourself?
No, generally. My wife is also an alcoholic. So she drinks 1 tequila drink every night.
Oh, wow. That's the deal, right? You said 1 a night and that's
it. Yeah, that's a lot of control.
It is. Because I keep drinking.
Yeah, well, the problem for me is like, and it can just be a beer. I'll finish the beer and the beer's like, wait, there's more of me, right? And then I'll be like, all right, I'll have 2.
Yeah.
And then by you have 2, you're like, well, you might as well have 3.
Yeah.
And then when you have 3, you're like, dude, fuck it, don't go to the gym, have 4. You know? And then, then you have 4, and the 4 is like, man, 1 more, then we're going to bed. And then you have 5, and you go to bed, and you wake up, and you're fine.
Yeah, you're fine.
But you're like, what was that all about?
Why did I do it?
Why did I do that?
But there is nothing better than having a drink at dinner. If I've got to go to like a dinner, whether it's with friends or work stuff, and then you get home and you're catching like just a little bit of that buzz. And then I'm like, what can I make at home?
Yeah.
And then I'll have those until I go to bed, which is bad. Because I'm at home. I'm safe.
Yeah.
I made it home. I can just fall asleep on this couch again.
Yeah.
That was my.
Yeah.
She hated that.
Yeah. Well, your liver's not safe. You're safe.
Yeah. I am safe.
But your liver's in danger.
You can always get a new one. Can't they get new ones now?
By the time we're having problems with
that's
it.
That's what I feel.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
No, we're going to be harvesting organs.
Hell no.
No, we're fucked.
We're too late. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're fucked.
Yeah, we'll take it. That's fine.
Yeah.
What do you want to die of? How about that? Charlie, what do you want to die of? What's your like ultimate I want to die of?
Okay. I was trying to think of a good joke, but in reality, probably old age. Being like, you know, just like I'm old and my organs are like, hey man, let's just take a break now.
That's gonna be painful though.
Yeah.
Like what about a massive heart attack? Like let's just say you're 90 and you go to sleep. My one grandfather, he literally went and was like, I'm gonna take a nap, and then never woke up. That was it. Had a fucking massive heart attack.
In the middle of a sleep.
At what age?
Yes. He was like 89 or something.
Yeah, that's
pretty sweet.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, if you sleep and you don't get up.
What do you want to die of?
I want to see it happen. I've said that for years.
It's like a stabbing.
I want to watch it. I just want to feel it all. I want to know. See, the dying in the sleep thing tends to be people's answer. They always go, I want to die. I want to know what happened. Because then what do I know? Whatever you believe in the afterlife, what if you're sleeping and you never know that you, I want to know. I want to watch it. I want to go, I'm dying. I want to know
feel
I'm dying.
Pain and fear as the last thing?
Okay. Yeah. Right. That's been life. Life has always been pain and fear. Why change at
that's
the end?
Part of it. Why run away from that?
All right, let it happen.
Got it.
I feel like I'd rather know I'm dying than not know I'm dying. I would rather. It's almost a sense of relief. Well, you're like, this is it.
Fuck it. Why not make it like a 7-month long battle with painful rectal cancer?
No,
why don't you know?
I want
you're
the one.
The pain.
I want the. It's happening right now. I want it to be happening right now. I want it to be in a moment. I'm dying.
What about like a horrific car accident that's very clear it's going to go south? Meaning like you have a split second of knowing, oh, I'm about to die.
Maybe, but some people live through those things and that scares me.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, yeah, you're the only one that lived. And you're like, no. You know what I mean? And they're like, your head is detached, but we found a way to hook it up to a machine so you can live like that.
You killed a family, but you're alive.
What kind of family?
Fair.
You know what I mean? What kind?
Yeah. Did they deserve
Where are they
it?
From?
Did they deserve it?
Was it the Manson family? Because be it.
So be it.
Then you're a hero.
How many kids? How old are they? All this stuff really comes into play.
Sure.
Who did I kill? How did I kill them? You know? I want to know I'm going to die. What's the last two words of a plane is going down? Plane's going down, you're on it. Your last two words. You say?
Fuck me.
Fuck me. Yeah, fuck me's pretty good.
Yeah. Wow. What, I have so many questions. What kind of plane is it?
777.
Know? And I'm surrounded by people?
And you're sitting in the exit row. You couldn't get first class. Really sad. You're in the exit
row
and you're in the middle.
I've had a couple of, one in particular, a very strange experience on a plane where it was like, you know that thing where it like drops suddenly?
Yeah.
Like fucking fit. And it was so severe. The turbulence was so severe that people were fucking screaming and crying. You ever been on one of those flights?
Dude, I fly every weekend. Okay. I'm on those all the time.
And people were fucking freaking out. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what happened or what was going on, but I was convinced, okay, this is going to go down and we're going to die. And I just got fucking like bizarrely calm and was like okay with it. And there was this person that was next to me and it was this guy. He was like so scared. It was a guy. It was an older guy. Mm-hmm. And I just fucking grabbed his hand. And I just like held his hand and
put it on your penis.
I was like, buddy, let's go. Let's fuck. Like,
yeah.
No. And he just like looked at me and then he stopped screaming and then I stopped screaming. But then, and then I took my hand off of his hand because it got weird. And I was like, oh, okay. That's okay. Like we're going to go. And I didn't say anything.
You were fine.
It was bizarre. Yeah. It was bizarre.
I was on a jumper flight from Indianapolis to maybe I was going to New York. And the storm was so bad, they're like, we're going to have to not take off tonight. And I was like, fuck, I can't, this is going to fuck up my whole schedule. And then like, they were like, just wait by the gate. We'll see if the storm subsides. An hour and a half or so goes by. And they're like, I think the pilot said we're good to go. And I was like,
that's what they said to Buddy Holly.
I know. I was like, is this a good idea? Is this going to be the time? I was like, no, come on. The FAA, like you put your hope into the FAA. You're like, they know that if they can and they can. So we get on the plane. And of course, just as I knew, it was like the whole time. It was like on the way up. And as we got to even to like 30,000, I mean, it was still like this because it's a small plane. And everyone is doing this thing the whole time, you know, like grabbing and kind of you all start looking around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I look to my left and can't believe I didn't see him get on the plane because I was like horse blinders. But Phil Knight, you know, the basketball coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Phil Knight.
Phil Knight.
No,
Phil Knight. Bobby Knight.
Bobby Knight.
Yeah.
Bobby Knight. The basketball coach.
Phil Knight started Nike.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's not flying commercial.
No.
The Indiana college coach?
Yeah, the Maniac.
But it was just like an American Airlines, like a jumper jet to New York.
He's screaming at the pilots. He's like, you call that flying?
Throwing his chair.
Get out of the chair. Do some laps. up and down the aisles. Let's go.
He was sitting reading a newspaper like fucking nothing, like cross-legged. Just reading a newspaper, like nothing existed.
Of course.
And I looked over and I was like, "This is God is not gonna whatever it is.
This guy, he's seen it all.
This I'm not gonna die on the plane with this guy. This is never gonna go down."
Well, I've been on planes and been scared, like nervous, but like my wife gets really scared, and so I pretend like I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
But like not in like that first one. I swear to God, we were going down, and I was like, "Fuck it, I don't know what happened. Like my soul left my body." But oftentimes, like in heavy turbulence, I'm just like, I'm gonna pretend like everything's fine, even though I'm fucking nervous, because
make her feel better.
It makes her feel better because she keeps looking at me, and I'm just like, everything's good, and I'm just like fucking screaming on the inside, like get.
But you have to be the protector.
Yeah. And then I look over at my kids and I'm like, my kids are definitely freaked out. I got to stay strong for them. Now the kids are on the iPads and they have no fucking idea what's going on.
There is a threshold you cross as like a young teen where you learn for some reason you're like, oh, I think planes might be able to crash. But I remember being a kid and going to visit my grandmother and my dad being like, was that a scary flight? And I was like, what? No, I like didn't notice
It
was terrible.
Yeah.
I was on a plane in second grade, and then I was not on a plane again until I was 23 years old.
What?
Yeah, and just did one flight to go test for a pilot out to L.A., and then the next flight I was on, I met Rob on.
No shit.
Yeah, so
that's
that was
strange.
That was my third flight in my life.
I think I have the same exact experience. I had one plane ride when I was in second grade, and it was when my dad and mom were getting divorced, and they took me down to Florida so my mom could move out.
Hey, let's get Robbie down to Florida, and then so you can see some palm trees,
and then when
we
come home, mom will tragedy. Be gone, and that'll be totally normal. And then I wasn't on another plane until I was like 22 or 23, and that plane that we met, that trip may have been like one of the first or second that I had been on.
You guys met going out to L.A.?
Yeah. So I had flown out to test for a pilot called Weird Henry, and they were.
I love that show.
It never.
Of course not.
So what happens? I land and I do like the producer session, and then I get back to my hotel, and they're like, "The network has dropped the pilot, and they're sending you home." And I was like, "All right, whatever.
Fine.
I guess." I mean, I was bummed. I was like, "Fuck, that's crazy." And then a few weeks later, I was testing for something called Mather House, and I met Rob on the flight. I was like, "This guy's an actor," and we talked and.
That was a bad plane ride for me. Truly, I was like, oh yeah, this guy's coming out there. I'm like, what character are you going out for? And this is the same one. And I was like, all right. And then by like Ohio, I was like, fucking fuck. Like, I'm never getting this job. Because this guy's definitely going to get this fucking job.
You guys tested for the exact same?
Yes. Wow. Same show, same part.
What was it called? Mather?
Mather House.
It was like a college sitcom. You know, it was like.
Sure.
But it was written by. It was written by
Jackie Schaefer and Jeff.
Really?
It was Jeff.
No.
It was their third partner. It was the guy that ran Veep for a while. What the fuck's his name? It's Alec Berg, Jeff Schaefer, and the
Italian guy.
Come
Armando,
on.
That guy.
No, after he left, I got to look it up.
You look it up,
crazy.
But so then the same thing happened. So we went and did like one producer session. And then they said, yeah, you know what? The network's not making this pilot after all. And I remember you were really pissed off about that. And I was like, oh, don't you know this is what happens? Because it was my second time in a row experiencing that. But then we became pals after that.
That was the impetus for the Sunny growth?
Third Flight's the Charm.
That should have been named Always Sunny.
David Mandel.
Oh, Mandel.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
David Mandel.
So he wrote that pilot.
So it was really good. Yeah, it was really funny.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it just, like, fell apart.
I don't remember the script at all. You remember it?
I do. Yeah, Mather House was
not surprising.
Do you remember what our character's name was? It was probably something like Cooper.
Yeah, of course it always they obviously.
You remember
like
you remember what
Cooper.
It is. Say
I don't remember the guy's name.
Because I feel like you do remember that stuff and I know you don't.
Yeah, I don't remember
man. Like the last thing
how do you know that I don't remember?
It's an energy thing. I can just tell.
I'm deleting files as they're coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just
that's right.
And he's logging it into he's got a folder and it's the icons are lined up. And it's well
useless.
You know,
but it's there. But you hold
it's
on
there,
to
but
it.
It's yeah.
It depends on the type of information. Like I'm retaining certain kind of things and deleting others. Like names, facts, dates. Those are all gone. Those are all useless to me.
But definitely, I'm right now actively pissed off that I couldn't remember that guy's name.
Yeah, I can feel that.
And that makes me angry. And that's the whiskey.
And I don't even actually remember
the name.
Who's
the name?
I don't. No. It's worse than that. I don't remember who he's looking up or what
why?
It was about. Why?
What's the name? You don't remember the name
just
I
said
just
it.
Said it?
It was like Howie Mandel. I
It was Howie Mandel.
That's so much better.
That's so great.
And you don't care. You're just like,
I don't
yeah,
care. I don't care
great.
At awful.
It's but so why great. Would you need to? I guess that's the
good. Because you were looking up a useless thing, and it's useless to my life, and I'm like, nah, it doesn't matter.
And so he's used to watching me do things that are like that drive me insane, and he just like lets me spin out, and yeah, then yeah, he's yeah. just like, all right, that's yeah. what I'm doing.
But that makes for the perfect relationship for you two, then.
It does.
When you guys work together, that's probably also what bounces very well. Is your like unique specific organization and your whimsy? I don't know what's the word for you. I think you're
artistic genius, maybe.
Don't say the G word.
Yeah,
no chance.
Yeah.
You already called that's two. Now yeah. he's a musical genius and an artistic.
I asked
genius.
If he was musical.
Yeah, and he said no.
And he said
yeah.
no. So
sorry,
yeah.
Sorry, I said autistic.
Oh, you are very much.
I might be.
There's a little bit.
In here. We pour whiskey.
Hey, since you're listening to the show right now, I'm in your ear holes somewhere, wherever you are. I think it's safe to say that you love listening to podcasts. Well, you're going to find a ton of binge-worthy podcasts, including ours, on Amazon Music, baby. Amazon Music has more than 10 million free podcast episodes to listen to, and they're not just for pods. They also have a bunch of other stuff, like Muzak, my friend. They got some great music on there. They have thousands of music stations and top playlists to stream completely for free. No matter what you're listening to, you can go to the hands-free with Alexa. Play me something great. If you're like me and you want your music on demand and ad-free, you have to try Amazon Music Unlimited. That's going to give you access to over 75 million songs, as well as podcasts, music videos, etc., etc., etc. Amazon Music Unlimited, you can listen to any song anywhere, offline, with unlimited skips, and ain't going to skip on you. Not like a CD back in the Discman back in the day where it's when you're running. Amazon Music is great. They send me these codes. I got to try these things out. And sometimes I don't like them. And I'm like, I don't want to do the ad. I like this. This is actually great. It's very user-friendly. Amazon, once again, knocking it out of the park. They know exactly what they're doing. It's very convenient. It's cool. It's sleek. They have everything that you need on there. And if you've never tried Amazon Music Unlimited, now is the time. For a limited time, new customers can try Amazon Music Unlimited free for 30 days. No credit card required. Just go to Amazon.com/WG. Amazon.com/WG. To try Amazon Music Unlimited free for 30 days. Amazon.com/WG. Amazon.com/WG. Renews automatically. Cancel anytime. Terms apply. Hey, I'm here to tell you that you can be busy and also eat healthy. I know it seems like it's not a real thing, but you have to do this and try out Evive. Evive is quick. It's easy. It's delicious. Blender-free smoothie. If you ain't got that blender, you can do this without it. It's great. It provides you plant-based proteins and nutrients to keep your motor running. They sent me a ton of these things. They're all frozen. Came to my front door, and man, were they delicious. They really were truly good. I like my little berry smoothies, as everybody knows, and they want to inspire you to eat healthy. The blenderless smoothies are bursting with high-quality ingredients, organic fruits, vegetables, and all your favorite superfoods. Evive is entirely plant-based. And by the way, I'm not entirely plant-based. I eat meat outside of this world, and sometimes I like to do plant-based stuff, and this was delicious. It's very quick, it's very easy, and it's like a wheel. It comes in like a little wheel, little pod, little wheel, like a perfect little wheel, like Trivial Pursuit, and you pop one out, you put it in, you put either some almond milk or whatever in it, or water, whatever you want, and let it melt, and man, it's easy and delicious. Pick between 12, 24, 36 product box, select your favorite smoothies, pick your desired delivery frequency, and boom, that's it. Their online smoothie subscription is completely customizable and commitment-free. Run that wheel underwater for a few seconds, pop the cubes in a bottle or a mason jar, whatever you want. Cover the cubes with your favorite liquid, plant-based milk, cold water, or juice. Let it melt for 20 minutes. Shake it. Consume it. Order online with the code WHISKEYGINGER20 and get 20% off and free delivery right to your door. Visit our EviveNutrition.com and discover Evive delicious products today. Delicious products is right. These are smoothies that are worth trying. Trust me, I do very much like these on the go. EviveNutrition.com. Use that code WHISKEYGINGER20 and get 20% off and free delivery right to your door.
Ginger. I like gingers.
It's possible. It's very possible.
But, you know, that's definitely a key to our relationship creatively. Like, I bring a certain set of, like, things, and he brings another set, and then they just mesh really well. But it's also difficult because I think about things in a different way, and so does he. So
yeah.
Sometimes we butt heads, but we also recognize that that's part of the process, and then we have to get through it.
But usually when we put it through that sort of grinder of different mentalities, we come up with something that we mutually agree on 99% of the time, and that product tends to be something that works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, which is cool. I have found that alone, you know, on my own, I've done it, and it's not worked as well. You know what I mean? And I think Rob has probably, I'd say, have more success doing it without me. But there are times where, you know, I think I could have helped in that.
Yeah.
Project. Was there a moment when you guys, when Sonny got popular, was there a moment that, like, you know, one of you or whatever was getting more on the outside of the show? And did that create any kind of bullshit inside of the show? You know, like,
definitely that happened, but it didn't create any bullshit.
No drama.
No.
God, it's so, you know, I mean, look, I know you're saying that you're both here and you are still really close, but it is wild to think because everyone, you guys both know that happens 90% of the time. It becomes a...
Well, let me ask you that, because what happened was Charlie started to soup to pop, which we also recognized coming off the show, and then he started to work in movies. But the question, I can tell you that Glenn and I never... We never felt any...
Who's Glenn?
Yeah, fair. Yeah, he's the other guy.
So
we never felt any animosity. We were proud of him. And the truth was, we were so fucking pissed off for so long, which happens to be a trend with me, I suppose, that nobody knew the show and nobody cared about the show. And like, there was a point in which people were getting like nominated for awards that you'd be like, these guys are morons. Like, Charlie's the fucking best. Like, why wouldn't he be in this conversation? So that when one of us, any one of us, and specifically Charlie, like, got recognition for that, it made us all feel good.
Totally.
So I don't know if you felt that at the time, right? Did you ever feel anything from us?
No, I don't think so. I like, you know, maybe sometimes I felt bad about it because, like, you guys would be doing great work on the show and I'd be like, oh man, why aren't they getting the opportunities they should be getting? You know, which maybe I felt guilty that I was or like undeserving. But I think oftentimes when there's that resentment, it's usually because the person is getting those opportunities and also being a fucking dick about it.
Right.
You know, which it was like, I wasn't like, no, I'm not doing Sonny anymore. You guys have to kind of operate on my watch. I was still like, you know, Sonny is the job. It's our thing. It's still the passion. And I'm like, lucky to do this other stuff on the side.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, it actually is what part of the glue that kept the show together for so long, because what would happen is, you know, you're in season 7. You're like, how long are we going to do this? Should we keep doing it? And Charlie would go off and do some big movie. And then he would come back and say, I want to keep doing Sonny. And we would say, why do you want to keep doing this? And you would always come back and say, because, like, we have it all. This is the job. Like, mm-hmm. Yes, that was cool to go do that movie. I love working with Bateman and Sudeikis, and those guys are great.
Yeah, that was great.
And that was an incredible experience. But, like, on this, it's our thing.
Yeah.
We get to control it completely. We have an audience. We get to do whatever we want. Why would we not keep doing it? And so that was inspiring for us, because we were like, oh, shit, it's cool out there to do other things. But if this guy wants to keep coming back and doing it, there's a lot to be said for that. And Danny would say the same thing.
Yeah. You know, also, I think in terms of the show itself, I was very conscious of, like, well, let's not try to start to steer episodes to keep bolstering that. Like, I think there could be a thing where that would happen on a show where, like, you know, whoever, Steve Carell would pop, and then the writers would be like, and we really have to make sure that he's the star of each episode.
Yeah.
It was much more like creatively too with the show. It's like, no, let's pass the buck. And we found like new ways to make your character funny. And we really kind of honed in on what was so funny about Glenn. Mm-hmm. And
he is very, very, very funny.
So I don't know. Sonny was just always such a great opportunity for us. And it just, it pays back in so many ways, not just money, but like the fans and the love we get for the show. I get more love for that show than anything that I've done.
Oh, by far.
Well, yeah, because it's the most you guys making your own shit, which is what we found about the podcast world, which is like our fans are, it's us making our own shit.
Mm.
There is no other, granted you're on a television network and all that stuff, but truly it's you guys making that shit. There's really not a lot of other hands in there forcing you to make it another way.
Right.
That's you guys doing it. Yeah. That's like with us doing this shit was like, oh, no one's going to tell me I can't really. So that's great. Because otherwise, you know, I like doing the other stuff too. I feel the same way. It's like, I like doing Dave. I like doing these other small bit roles and tiny stuff. But also, I don't know. It's not, you know, it's not the thing that I get to put all the control in comedy wise and fun wise. You know, you show up and you do the job and it's nice, but I think it's way more fun when you have all of the control of it. I mean, you know, that's kind of I think that's the weird secret to Hollywood that you don't know when you're coming up or whatever, that you're like, I want to do all of it. And you're like, like somebody once told me, you don't want all the fans, you want the right ones. And mm-hmm. I think that's kind of true. It's like, I don't know if I'd ever want to be Kevin Hart. I think Kevin Hart's great. I don't know if I want all of the fans. That just feels overwhelming to me.
There definitely seems to come like a certain kind of pressure. I look at Rogan and I'm like, wow, like he's under a I don't think he feels it, or maybe he does. I don't know. But it
no,
seems
doesn't.
Like he is under a tremendous amount of pressure. He went from this very well-known comedian to all of a sudden, like, at the center of the cultural zeitgeist, like, over the course of a couple of years. And that kind of exposure to me is, like, somewhat terrifying because he clearly doesn't seem to give a fuck about it. I think for us, that would be, for me, that would be difficult because I'd be like, wow, can I still keep doing the same things the way that I've always done them? I don't know. I don't know how it would
work. The answer is no. I think sometimes he thinks he can. Like, if we go out together sometimes, there is, like, a moment of, he was like, he's like, where are you last time we were together? And I said, I'm at the gym by the hotel. And he goes, I'm going to come down. And I was like, no, it's not a private gym. You know, it's not a hotel gym. They're connected to, like, a public gym. Right. And he was like, so what? And I was like, are you fucking serious? I mean, I was like, what are you doing? He's like, meet me down there. So I go walk downstairs. I'm in the gym. I go down to the first floor. And he walks in, and I'm giving him the look, like, do you really want to do this? And we go upstairs. Within seconds, it was like fucking mob. It's like chaos. Also, you're in a gym.
You're in a gym.
That's like a fucking sanctuary for his people. It's like church for meatheads. So, like, it was just chaos. And then he worked out for a little bit privately in this section, and people ended up kind of leaving him alone. But I was watching him thinking, what a fucking nightmare. Like, you lose any semblance of anonymity.
I just listened to his podcast for the first time, like, 2 days ago.
Who, Tarantino?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what everybody says. I know people that, like, don't like podcasts or, like, I have family or friends that'll be like, dude, I can't believe I've never listened to this show before because it was so fun. Because Tarantino really doesn't do...
He doesn't do a lot.
Anything, ever, because he keeps to himself. But I was surprised he did Rogan because he doesn't do much, but it was really good. It was, like, interesting to hear another version of him that you don't get when you hear him on talk shows or, you know, I don't even know. Or what, Howard is, like, the only other time I've really heard him on Stern.
That's why podcasts are so unbelievably popular is because it's so fascinating to hear long-form interviews. That's what you want to hear. Like, talk shows, what the fuck is that? Like, 3 minutes of rehearsed jokes? Like, it's just...
Have you guys done a bunch of talk shows or no? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've had fun. Like, I did Kimmel this year, and we got drunk, and that Kimmel's was really great. Fun.
Kimmel's a fun
Kim,
one.
Yeah. I think Jimmy's, I mean, because I met him out, you know, like, in the comedy world, and I'll tell you this quick, I don't know, I'll tell the quickest version of the story, but I when I first moved to L.A., my friend's dad was the mayor of Hawthorne, and they do the San Gennaro Italian Festival down there, and he loved that I'm Santino, even though I look like Ireland, and he's like, go do jokes down there. You're a new comic, but go do jokes. So I went and ate the biggest, huge bag of dicks for like 6 minutes on stage in front of like Italian families who were like, who's this fucking Mick trying, you know, like it was just awful. And then I got off and this old guy came up to me and put his hand on my shoulder and he goes, you're funny, you're just not there yet. And I was like, thank you.
It's not there, you're gonna get there.
And I turn around and it was his Uncle Frank, Uncle Frank. Jimmy Kimmel's Uncle.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's cool.
And even cooler, he goes, but I can tell you're gonna be good. And I was like, it doesn't feel like it. And he goes, do you know Jimmy Kimmel? And I knew who he was. And I was like, of course, yeah, I love him. And he says, well, why don't you come to the show? And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, come to the show. Can you come tomorrow? And I was like, yeah. Go to the side, ask for Frank. I'll remember your name, and I'll get you into the show. And I was thinking, this is bullshit. He was being nice, but he'll never remember this. So me, my girlfriend go, and I walk up to the side real nervous, and I wore a fucking collared shirt, and I tucked it into my jeans, no belt. Like, I was like, I think you have to look nice if you go backstage. So I bought, like, a Target shirt. So then I go.
I better tuck the shirt into my jeans.
I go there, and this woman's like, who, you know, brushing, what are you doing back here? I said, Uncle Frank said I was supposed to come, and she's like, really? Give her my name. And within minutes, he runs out and gives me a hug. He's like, come meet Jimmy. And he escorted me back there. This was like my third or fourth year in stand-up out here. And I met Jimmy and I met everyone. He took me around. It was the weirdest, probably the most memorable Hollywood moment that I've ever had where I was like, oh man, this guy was really genuine. It wasn't like we'll get dinner. We'll get lunch. Or I'll see you. And I met all those guys and did that whole thing. And it just meant a lot because I was like, oh, this is the community that Kimmel created over there.
Yeah.
It was like a family, which felt so real versus, you know, a lot of other shows you're like, this is a machine.
And that kind of thing absolutely exists. And Hollywood gets such a bad rap for so many different reasons, and a lot of it is deserved. But the truth is, like, you can find douchebag assholes in every industry, yeah, everywhere. We happen to attract quite a large number,
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, we're the best at it.
But I will say that, like, I have an incredible community of, like, intelligent, compassionate, empathetic, considerate friends that work in this business. And there's a lot of us.
And Charlie.
And also Charlie.
And me, you know. I haven't worked with any real bad eggs. I've worked with people who've had bad raps, maybe on some other projects. I've worked with a few people who have made some bad life decisions. But I haven't experienced anyone being a monster on
I
set.
Have. Oh, yeah, I have.
You have?
Holy shit.
I've just been lucky, I think.
Or you're not seeing it.
Oh, yeah, or I'm
you're
not seeing it.
That's mostly what it is.
Yeah. I also think, like, people don't want me to see it. I don't know what that is, but I think that people, like...
You're like the kid and the parents don't want to fight in front of you. Yeah. They're like, not in front of Charlie, will you?
I think so.
They escort you. Like, Charlie, go to your trailer, buddy. Yes, go to your trailer. There's stuff in there for you to play with, and the adults are going to fight outside because they don't... You're too pure to have you get involved with
but
shit.
But I think I'm also unpredictable in a way where you're like, oh, that's a cute little street dog, and, you know, and you're like, but it might go crazy and
might
like, I don't know what it's going to do.
Right.
And so, you know, I think it's a good
thing.
Well,
also, bullies tend not to... fuck around with powerful people, and you're a powerful people on the set. So, like, that kind of shit does continue to happen. It's just we just don't see it.
Yeah, that's true. I guess if they hide it from, and some people are really good, and then you'll hear through the grapevine,
yes,
someone will go, you know what the fuck so and so did, and you're like, really?
And then I've heard this a number of times. They'll say, yeah, but they won't, and I'm like, that's not true. I've been around that person 1,000 times, and I've never seen it. And they're like, yes, because he would never pull that shit with you.
Right. I mean, I have had it like on crew where people are like, that fucking AD, you know, or whatever, the line producer. But I haven't seen actors like really.
Have you ever had a guest star on Sunny of someone that was kind of an asshole? You don't have to say their name, but anybody come on the show and act like a dick?
No, not really.
Well, we had...
Rob's got one.
We've had people like, yeah, not dicks, just tricky. Like, look, and that's a part of it too, which is like sometimes people are just, you have to navigate a little bit of mental health stuff. And that's a part of the deal. But where what we don't ever accept is like abusive behavior.
Sure.
If someone's like strange or aloof or, you know, like hard to navigate, late, that kind of shit, you're like, eh. If it's like a guest star, whatever.
And if it's good for the character, that's what's even more fucked up about Hollywood, which is why we're so fucked up, is because if someone's kind of Charlie Sheening their way through that show, that's why they liked that show. He was Charlie Sheening his way through his own show, and that's why they loved it,
I think. A lot of our guest cast usually is like...
Friends or
aspiring actors who are getting a break.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a big like... Hey, we have this many famous, like we do it, but we don't always have like the roles for a famous person to come in with all their baggage. So maybe once a season we do.
We also shoot so fast, and I think people are just like in and out.
Yeah, it's over before. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, they're there for 3 hours.
Yeah. 3 hours max, and we don't even give them an opportunity to bitch because we're like, bitch, it doesn't get better than this. So fucking shut up and do your job and get out. Yeah.
DeVito is the best to work with.
Yeah, the best.
Like, I've heard you guys say that for years.
Yeah.
Like, before I met you guys, all I ever heard was you guys saying that. But now I finally believe it after all this time. Because you're like, we all do this thing with legends where you're like, oh, they're the best. And then sometimes behind their back, we're just like, that guy's a fucking asshole. But no one talks about it. And it is what it is. But I don't feel like that's him, huh? He just doesn't have that thing about him that's like...
He's exactly the guy you think he is. People are like, oh, what's Danny like? I'm like, picture Danny in your head. That's who he is.
Yeah.
Picture that personality, you know? That attitude. Yeah. And
like, even like look at Louis De Palma or even Frank for that matter. And you're like, well, that guy's kind of a dick, but there's also a wink about it.
Sure.
And Danny doesn't even go that far, but like he is literally Danny DeVito. Exactly what you think.
Who was the, how did you guys get him again? Who was the guy that made that happen? Wasn't it
John Landgraf, who runs FX?
Yeah,
he used to run Jersey TV.
Jersey Shore.
Yeah. Jersey TV, which was Danny's company.
And
so when they were like, hey, we want to bring you back for the second season, but you got to bring on a name. We were like, no. And they were like, you're canceled. And we were like, yes.
Get us a name.
Get us a name. Get us Danny DeVito.
And it worked.
And it worked.
God, it did work.
Yeah.
That's. I mean, look, it's 18 seasons.
It's going to be. Right now, we're in season 15.
Wow.
But we're contracted to 18.
Wow. And I'm going to be on the next season. Guys, look for me. I'll be on the whole... I'm a new add to the cast, you said.
No. No more asking about it. No more suggesting
so
it.
So I will be on the show next year.
No, just
that's
no.
Actually part of this season that you might be...
Hey, guys, look for me. No. It's going to be...
I don't want to give any spoilers.
Okay, all right, we'll talk about it.
No, but I am I'm happy for you guys. And we didn't even get... I didn't really get to even talk Mythic Quest because I think that's part of the thing we should have talked about. No, you don't care?
It's all okay. Good. People want to talk about Sonny.
People watch Mythic Quest on Apple TV. Please watch that. That's Rob's new show, and it's touched a lot of bases as far as critics like it. That's a good, you know?
Yes.
I feel like it's
a very successful show for the Apple platform. That's for
but
sure.
I think that's huge. I always say that now. There's too many fucking shows. So if the show doesn't stink, it's like, oh, that's great. That's how I feel about so much TV now that I'm like, if somebody goes, yeah, that show's good. I'm like, okay, great. That's all I need to know. It's not a stinker. Because if you're on a stinker.
No, it's a good show. And it scratches an itch for me that Sonny doesn't necessarily. And so it's really fun to go do. And yet, like, in terms of like actual pure enjoyment, like Sonny is the one that I have the most fun doing.
Yeah. Are you doing anything else or no?
Me?
Yeah.
It's a movie for... The Amazon?
Nobody likes movies.
Oh, sorry. Then no.
Movie for Amazon? What is that? Can you say it?
It's called I Want You Back, and it's a romantic comedy, pal.
Well, you and who?
Me and Jenny Slate.
Oh, I love Jenny Slate.
She's amazing.
So funny.
She's amazing.
Did she write it?
She did not write it. Isaac Aptker and Elizabeth Berger wrote it, and they run This Is Us.
I did that show.
Oh, yeah. It's a good show.
I did the pilot of that show. And I had no idea. I mean, I did actually. I knew it was going to be huge because I sat in the room when they did the table read. And I was like, holy shit. It'll be the new thing. The new family, fall in love, cry, watch together. And I did say that to those guys. Justin Hartley, I was like, man, this show is going to be big, huh? And he was like, I don't know. I hope so. And then I came back for the first episode of the second season. And those guys were all just like fucking floating to set. They were like, hey, man. Like fucking, they'd get like 9 Emmys and shit. The world was perfect. Because half of those people were all kind of, I shouldn't say struggling actors, but you know, like working actors kind of going through the whole
Sterling
thing.
Sterling we've known for years. Like Sterling was one of the first people I met out
Sterling
here.
Sterling was already breaking out when that show started.
He was starting to get an ascension. Yeah. Yeah, he was. But Chrissy Mites was kind of like going through her thing, and Justin had done a bunch of different stuff, and they were kind of, you know what I mean? It was just kind of, everyone was just kind of like, they're there, they're working, but that thing just, Sterling I ran into in a coffee shop in Atlanta. I think it was, he's from Atlanta? I don't know. I ran into him.
No, he's from St. Louis, I think.
Oh, that's right. It was in the Midwest.
Yeah.
That's right. I don't know where I am half the time. I thank you guys for coming on the show. This means a lot to me. Are we going to go hit a golf ball?
Yeah, let's go play.
Let's do it.
Did you get a new wedge?
Yeah.
Should we talk about it?
Yeah, you can talk about it.
Rob and I are starting a golf podcast.
Yeah, we're going to do a golf podcast.
What's it called?
I don't know. We need a name. We haven't
named come
it
up
yet.
With it yet.
How's your
talking golf?
How's your game?
Mm. A little too CBS.
No. How about just golf?
Golf nuts.
And life, but also golf.
No.
Too flat.
No. Rob and Charlie's golf podcast.
Not bad.
Charlie and Rob's golf. Yeah. Sorry.
I pitched Rob as
very seriously. He pitched.
Oh,
this
I was dead serious.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. Pitch it to Andrews the way you pitched it to me. He comes out of the office.
I don't think I would say it the same to him.
Yeah, he wouldn't.
But I was like, you know, I think I want to do a golf podcast just because I love golf and I love talking about golf. And it'd be fun. We'll talk to other actors. Maybe we'll get some players, some coaches. And
yeah.
And I was like, would you want to be my sidekick on it?
That's so funny. What was your immediate reaction?
He wasn't laughing and he wasn't smiling. He said, no, you said like, and I wanted to do this, but like, I feel like, it would be better if I had like a sidekick, and then like so. If you did it, then we could like bring guests on and whatever. And I just started laughing, and I was like, "You just called me your sidekick," and he was like, "Oh, well, yeah, you know what I mean." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
I know what a sidekick,
I know what sidekick
is.
Yeah.
But if I had a golf podcast, who would you think would be the sidekick?
Rob.
Yeah.
Yeah. This makes perfect sense.
Can we just call me your caddy?
That's actually great.
That's
actually
feels great. Better. That feels better. Right?
That's
I'm
great.
Just handing you the card.
Hey, Charlie Day here with my golf podcast and my caddy, Rob McElhenney.
Hi, everybody.
Robin is, Charlie and his caddy would be really nice. That's the name of the podcast.
Robin's going to need a fresh glass of water. And let's talk to our first guest here, Andrew Santino.
well, look, you, I hope it takes off. You'll get a lot of material. Rob and I played, I don't know, it was about a month and a half ago, and Rob recycled yes. a wedge into the L.A. River. And, yes. man, the sound uh-huh. was beautiful.
Well, because
did it echo like?
Well, here's
everybody
why
knows there's no water in the LA River. No, it's just right. a giant empty basin.
Listener at home,
but
it's just a
he discarded it.
Concrete creek.
It was on. What were we on? Six.
Yeah, it was whatever that part.
Six.
Three.
And we were on six and.
Pitching wedge.
It was a 58 degree, which you degree. The day before you and I had gone out and practiced, and yeah. I had it. He showed me this thing. He's like, just do this. I hit 1,000 balls.
Yeah, you had it down.
Yeah, and then the next day. The next day, by the sixth hole, I tossed this motherfucking thing as hard as I could.
He did like a, so, and then I was talking to, I don't know who we were playing with, but as we see him getting mad out of the corner of my eye, I'm like, look away. Like, it's like dad is getting angry, mm-hmm. and don't look at him, because mm-hmm. looking at him is going to get you the club, like, waved at you, like, so I looked the other way, and he sidearmed it as hard, I mean, it was fucking it was like a MLB player sidearm, and the release was perfect, and it end over ended, and it hit the bushes, and I'm thinking it's going to stick in the bushes. It annihilated the bush. I mean, the bush was like, it was like a cartoon. Mm-hmm. It went right through the bushes into the LA River, and all you heard, and we waited, and all we heard was, bang, bang, da, 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 bang, 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 bang. It was beautiful. Perfect.
We're going to have to go out there with a microphone so I can get that audio live.
That's
and we
great.
Can just be like, and here comes the club toss. You know?
I don't have the mental game down yet.
Nobody does, by the way.
No,
that's true. No,
pros don't either. No. That's why they're. That's why
that
it's
the
toughest game in the world.
That was the first club I had thrown and broken in a very long time.
Like weeks.
No. I have more respect for my equipment, Charlie.
You do. Yes, you do. By the way, that wedge needed to go.
I say that as if I haven't smashed a club into my own bag and accidentally broken the shaft of it. I've done it too.
Yeah, I put one in a lake and I immediately was like, why? Why would I fucking? It's right there. I need to get that back out of the lake.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's such an annoying...
Did you go in the lake and get it?
I did.
I've done that before,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it was so stupid. I was like, why did I do this? Like, that was dumb. And then I ended the round, obviously. People were like, oh, you're going to... No, I'm obviously not going to play. I'm embarrassed. I'm wet. This was so dumb. But yeah, I went in and got
I've done the same
club.
Exact thing. Like, in my 20s, we used to sneak onto this golf course every now and then, play like 9 holes. We had one bag with one set of clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And I got pissed off and threw the driver into a lake.
Everyone's like,
and
we
I
need...
Like, hey, I was like, I got it. I'm on it. Strip down my boxers, go in the lake.
My bad. I'll get it. We do need that one. Yeah. Look out for Charlie and his Caddy's podcast coming to Apple Podcasts or
Charlie
wherever you get
Charlie and his
get
Caddy
them.
Is a great name for it.
Charlie and his Caddy podcast. wherever you receive podcasts. We end the show the same way on one word or one phrase. This is how you will end the episode. So both of you guys look in that camera right there, and each of you... At one at a time, say one word or one phrase that's going to close the episode. So whenever you're ready, one word or one phrase.
Oh, I don't like this.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't
Give
it?
Give us some examples of...
Of what good, what cool people, of smart people have said?
Well, yeah, what matters? What?
That's a good one. What matters?
But that's... you can say a phrase?
One word or one phrase. A lot of people take the phrase very seriously. A lot of people use the word as a comedic punch. Which, you know, I can kind of tell who's going to do what from this angle. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't have to.
Enjoy your life.
Huh.
Look at that.
You thought he was going to go.
You thought
really
I was
I really wanted comedy.
See, yeah. I think for me, you're assuming I'm gonna jab.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's what comedy is. It's subverting the expectation.
No, it's just specificity about
it's
social
specificity ships. About social ships.
Yeah, about social ships. What's yours, Rob?
I'm going to say it's fucked up that the only continued socially acceptable form of prejudice that is accepted is against gingers.
Spaghetti's a joke.
In here, we pour whisk, 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 whisk.
You're that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.